Hi, beautiful souls, and welcome to another episode of Unicorns Do Exist. I am your host, Vanessa, and today I want to celebrate a beautiful human that helped me through my breakup so much and is a great friend. She is celebrating her wedding anniversary this month, and I just wanted to celebrate her, their relationship and their marriage, which sparked the idea to do this episode because, no, I don't believe that all marriages are doomed. There is beautiful, amazing relationships that are long-lasting that we can definitely learn from. And so I wanted to talk about something real. Healthy relationships, they're real. They're out there. They're also unicorns, but they are out there. Not the fairy tale ones, but the grown-up ones, the ones that require intention, effort, and heart. I was in a relationship for almost 10 years, 9 and a half, and not all of it was perfect. There's times where we both had to reassess and really be honest with each other and say, like, hey, are we going to keep this going or what's going on? I think there's your first love, right? The person you fall in love with. It's your puppy love, high school love most of the time. And then there's the person that you marry. And then there's the person that you grow old with. And not everybody's lucky enough to have those three relationships with the same person. Some people are. And those are the unicorn relationships that I talk about. Your first love, you get married, and then you grow together. And that is definitely possible. That is definitely real and out there. But each person in that relationship is someone different. Even though you're with the same person, the way they show up in the relationship is completely different. But for that to happen, both of you have to evolve and be honest. For it to be at least a healthy, passionate one. You know, I'm not talking about the te robaron a los 13, and then, you know, now he's 80, so he can't go out and drink and party anymore, so now you stay with him. And they're like, oh, look at them. They've been married for 50 years. Well, yeah, she was 15, and he stole her from the rancho. I'm not talking about those relationships. We should not glorify those either. There's a difference. There's a balance. But there's a quote from Esther Perel that I want to open with. It says, love is not something you find. Love is something you build. And I 100% agree with that. You know, sometimes you get to know someone and you start to fall in love. But for the love to keep going, you both have to continue to choose each other and build that love. With my last episode, you would think I want everyone to break up and move on. But that's not the case. I do not. I truly want you to be loved and loved the right way. That's what I mean. That's why I do what I do, and that's why I love relationships. I know there's a lot of accounts or social media that just hate men or trash men, and they glorify the women just leaving and being on their own just for find peace, but there's a difference between a toxic relationship and a disconnected relationship. Yes, if somebody is abusing you or misusing you, definitely walk away. Find help or resources and empower yourself to be able to do that. I know it's not easy either, but there's also relationships that have just gone dormant, that there's disconnection, maybe some resentment, kids, things like that. And not every relationship is bad. Sometimes it's just unfed. Sometimes you just haven't really taken your time to work on the relationship. Maybe it's, you know, work. You're tired, you get complacent, oh, they're here already, I shouldn't put any effort on it. And that happens, and I get it. I'm sure I've been guilty of it as well. I understand people get into those cycles all the time. You know, first is like the passionate attraction, and you just met each other, and everything's new, and it's like interesting, but eventually, you know, 5, 6, 7 years later, you already know everything, and that's when the disconnection happens. A lot of people find, oh, look at that nice shiny object. You know, the shiny object syndrome. So they wonder, like, the grass is greener on the other side. And then they start to, once again, wonder. And that's not always the solution. Like, if you just go hopping from grass to grass, I never believed that. I always believed the grass is greener where you water it. So, yes, you can look at your neighbors and say, oh, look at their yard. It's so beautiful. But it's because they put in the work. If you move to that house and you stood and you behave the same way you did at your place, you know, you didn't take care of your lawn, eventually that lawn is also going to die. The grass is not greener on the other side. It's always greener where you water it, where you take care of it, where you know how to show up. And why is this topic so important? It's because the quality of your life is the quality of your relationships. I said this before, 90% of your happiness is going to come, it's going to be based on the person you choose, good or bad. You know, good or bad. There's an upside to that, because if you pick the right person, you will have an amazing, happy life. But if you pick the wrong one, you're going to have the opposite of that. So when we cannot find peace within ourselves, we often blame each other. And this goes back to taking accountability on yourself, on your actions. So you could say, oh, the grass here is dead. Well, have you been watering it? Have you been showing up? And sometimes you're going to have to water it more than your partner. Sometimes your partner's going to have to water it more than you. It's never 50-50. I don't really think that's real. Or sometimes, like, in my relationship, I never watered the grass. That's just something I never did. I never went backyard and never did anything with the yard. That's just something I didn't do. However, my ex didn't cook. That's just something she didn't do. I never expected it. I never asked for it. She just didn't do it. And that's okay, because just like she didn't cook, I never went in the backyard. I still won't. This is where I mean, like, the relationships are not always 50-50. You have to be, let your partner do what they're good at, and then you do what you're good at. It's a partnership. That's why it's called a partnership. You both show up as the best versions of yourself and continue to grow that way. So why do some relationships get disconnected? Why do some relationships find themselves, you know, just in the same old routine or sleeping in the same bed but not actually having sex? And it could be many things: kids, career, stress, resentment. Sometimes there's things that are not solved, or there's problems that are left unresolved. That resentment will fester, and that energy will still always be there. The lack of communication turns into emotional distance, because you're sitting in the same couch or sleeping in the same bed, but there's no connection. It's like you're sleeping with a stranger. And that comes from not being able to speak up, be honest. Yes, communication is important. And they say, oh, we talk, but are you talking about what things that matter? Are you actually opening up on what is bothering you? Or are you just tippy-toeing around the subject so that you guys don't have a big old fight? Infidelity can sometimes be a symptom of the problem of the relationship. It doesn't necessarily have to be the death of a relationship. I, for example, used to always think that no matter what the case is, they cheat, I'm out. Doesn't matter. But now that I have kids and I hear other people's stories of people that are men or women that do cheat, that's not necessarily the case. Especially if you've built a beautiful relationship for over 10, 20 years, and then, you know, someone ends up cheating, I see a different point of view now, in the sense where, why did the cheating start? You know, what happened? Who can take accountability for what? Who showed up differently in the relationship? And I'm not saying, like, pointing the finger at either or, but infidelity is a symptom of the problem, not always the death of the relationship. Meaning, if you guys are just met and he's already cheating, girl, move on. But if you have kids, you have a family, it's been years, and then this happens, there has to be an underlying reason to it. First time, okay, let's try to work it out, let's figure it out. Second time, same thing, girl, bye. Because most affairs are not about sex. They're about desire. Desire for attention, desire for feeling, desire for feeling alive again. A lot of the times where there's no connection, there's also no desire. So once the connection goes, you know, someone else pays attention to them. Someone else is new. And that's where that comes from. Is it justifiable? No, of course not. But this is the perfect time for you to talk about, why did it happen? Why did this come up? What was missing? Because, yes, we all say we want a long-lasting relationship. That means we crave stability. But passion lives in uncertainty. Passion lives in the new, in the fresh, in the unknown. It's like a teeter-totter, you know? Like 10 years in, how are you going to have that passion and uncertainty if you've been together for 10 years? The way my friend put it, and she's been with her partner for, I believe, over 16 years, have beautiful kids that I've raised, and they're going on their fourth year anniversary. So they've been married for 4 years now, been together for 16. And she's a big advocate of, you know, their date nights, spending time with each other. choosing your partner over and over again, letting them know that no matter what, they're the one. It's so, so important. Because a lot of men think like, well, I was working, and that's what I figured, that's what they wanted. They wanted me to provide, you know, the house and the cars and all that stuff, and that's what they wanted. But reality, a lot of the women just want their husband. They don't care about the overtime. I kid you not, I think like 90% of women would say, hey, I would rather not have a model make vehicle, but have my husband, you know, every weekend, or my partner every weekend. I know I would have. I would have definitely been okay with that. And for some reason, men don't want to believe that. And that's why if women ever do cheat, is because of the lack of connection, attraction, desire. They feel alone. If men cheat, it's because they also feel alone, because they feel like they can't come home and tell their wives, hey, I'm tired, I'm stressed, this is going on at work, this is going, like, they feel like it's a weakness. And it's not. That vulnerability is what makes you, as a couple, come together and makes you stronger. And being able to hold space for your partner to have the opportunity to do that. Just women can be as guilty of it as men. Because if you have kids, as a mom, a lot of the times you're on mom mode. You forget about your husband. You forget asking him, how are you doing? How's your day? And she talks about how no matter what, that's her man. She loves him, and she made one of the hardest decisions I think you could ever make, was she chose her family over her career. And it's not like she doesn't have a great career still. She can still do what she does. And she's a badass at it. She's a badass at her job, this woman. And so is he, but the type of job that she did was very stressful and time-consuming, and one of the hardest decisions she had to do was choose him over a job. Which, to most people, it sounds easy, I think. But when you love what you do, and you love who you do it with, but you also love your family, that can be a very, very hard choice to make. But that's what love is. Love is putting your family first. Love is putting the person you choose first. Because a job is never going to put you first. Yet we're conditioned to not want to think that way. Yet we think that the person that chooses their partner is weak. Oh, they couldn't hack it or something. I'm sorry, but when they die, they're not taking their job with them. But that will kill your relationship. So, like I said, I'm very proud of her. And she helped me through so much of my breakup. But how do you reconnect? Let's talk about a reconnection phase. The five pathways back to intimacy are emotional reconnection, mentally, spiritual, physically, and sexually. Each one of them is as important as the next because it feeds off the other. So emotionally, what do you need to feel seen again? Simple question. Very powerful, very packed. And some people won't even say, they probably won't even know how to answer it. Mentally, talk about your goals. Talk about your future. Talk about how you want to grow. You're individually or together. Talk about goals that you can have for each other or for your family. I still love doing this one. In the beginning of the year, I would always ask my ex, what's your goal for the year? And seeing her little mind work, and like, it was awesome. It was a great conversation, and it helped set the intention for the whole year. Spiritually, you know, what does that look like for you guys? Do you go to church? Do you meditate? Do you just, you know, show gratitude at home with each other? How do you get aligned? How do you feel connected once again to something bigger than yourself? My friend loves to pray. She prays for me. She prays over me. She prays with me on the phone for her family. And having that strength, you know, that the higher power that gives you strength to push through the difficult times, that gives you hope. And then physical reconnection, you know, touching each other. Not just, hey, like when you walk in the house, give them a kiss. Say hello. Give them a hug. Flirt. You know, look at each other from across the room when you guys are out on a date. Try to find your person in a party and just look at them. and just think like, damn, that's mine, and see what that does to them. That's going to make them feel desired, wanted. I mean, if out of nowhere we're at a party and everyone's talking during their own thing, especially right now the holidays are coming, try to sneak glances at each other. During Thanksgiving, family reunions, when you're annoyed, just look for your partner and be like, can't wait to be with you alone. And say that with a look. Try to say that with your eyes. It's just playfulness. It's what brings, it's like when you were kids again or when you just started dating. That's going to lead into your sexual connection, sexual reconnection, the playfulness, the curiosity. You know, ask questions. Hey, what have you ever wanted to do? What is one of your fantasies? I love this question. What is one of your fantasies? Talk about it. Talking is one of the sense of foreplay. Like, don't be afraid. I mean, this is your person. This is the person that you chose for the rest of your life or are going to choose or want to choose. You should be able to have these conversations. And if you can't, go back to the beginning. Why can't we have it? Go back to the emotional connection. What is missing? What do you need to feel seen or comfortable? What do you need to feel comfortable? Tying these together will definitely spark a connection in the both of you. Everything always with respect, of course. Because no matter how much love you have in a relationship, like passionate, amazing, crazy love in the beginning, if there's no respect, that love is going to go out the window sooner than you can imagine. Sooner than you can imagine. The moment you start to be disrespectful to each other, that love is out. Because love can grow out of respect, but it will definitely die when the respect isn't there. When you start trading expectations for appreciation in the relationship, the whole relationship changes. So when someone takes out their trash, for example, something as simple as like, hey, thank you so much for taking out the trash. Even though they probably should take out the trash, that's fine. But thanking them, it's going to make them feel, it's kind of like when you rewarded a puppy. They want to do it more. Oh, that was nice. She noticed that. Okay, cool. I'll do that again. Oh, that was nice. Oh, by the way, you know, I know you cook all the time, but thank you so much for cooking. This one was like my favorite. So guess what? Now she's going to want to make that one more. Just appreciation for the simple things. Instead of expecting them to do it, be grateful that they do it. It's kind of like the whole thing. Instead of saying I have to do the dishes, it's more like I get to do the dishes. Meaning I had a meal in my home. Like the great being grateful to be able to have a meal in your home and have dishes to wash. No, you get to do the dishes. There's so many people out there that don't have a home to go to or meals right now, especially with everything that's going on. How many people are worried about having a home-cooked meal? And you're complaining about doing the dishes? It's just a simple mind switch that will change your life perspective and your whole entire life, the way you show up every day. When I worked at my previous job, there was a person that would be like, oh, I hate this job. Oh, I have to go to work today. Like, oh my God, didn't you apply for this job once? In my mind, I thought, how did you show up to your interview? Did you show up like, oh, I have to interview? No, you showed up like, man, I hope I can get this job. Oh my God, I'm going to sell myself. I'm going to say that I would, you know, I do this, I do that. You showed up with so much enthusiasm to your interview. Why can't you show up like that to your job? Because now you're complacent? Now you're bored? A relationship is a job. The way you show up to your job every day determines how the relationship goes. Be grateful that you have this person. The person that you once were probably trying to like court. Let me take you to dinner. Let me take you here. Let me buy you this. What happened? You got bored? Or, oh, now they're mine so I can just do whatever? No. Show up the way you want your partner to show up and they'll start to show up the same way. Like I said, when there's infidelity, though, there has to be a sense of accountability. There has to be actual remorse, genuine remorse. You have to ask for forgiveness and transparency. That is a must to be able to reconnect and reconnect in a healthy way. Because when there's infidelity, both parties hurt. one for doing the cheating, the other one for being cheated on. You know, it's hard to hurt someone that you love, but figure out why they did it. And if you choose to forgive, if you say, okay, I forgive you, let's work on it, you have to be willing to let that go. You can't bring it up every fight. You can't bring it up when they don't take out the trash. You can't bring it up when they forgot to pick up the kids. You can't bring it up ever again. Like, I mean, there's a period, for example, of like grievance and discovery and transparency. But once you're like, okay, I forgive you, let's move on, you have to be able to let it go. Because if not, that relationship, it's not going to work. And if you're still angry, just say that you're still angry. Don't say you're ready to, you know, that you forgive them and you're ready to go. No. And sometimes you might not be able to forgive them ever. But be honest with yourself. And if you can't forgive them, move on. Don't torture the person. And torture yourself. Because that's torture for you and for them. And for anyone else in that household. I know it's not easy. But it's definitely worth it, especially if you have children. So a couple ways you can check in with your partner would be, for example, sit with your partner once a week if you can. Once every 2 weeks, you know, date night. Ideally once a week. And just ask them, like, what is one way I can make you feel loved this week? Or what is one thing that made you feel loved this week? Like, what is one thing I did that made you feel loved? That's going to remind them of what you've done. It's going to make you feel good because they're praising you. And it's going to remind them of how amazing you are. It's a win-win for both. What's one thing that made you feel disconnected? Or what's one thing that disconnected us? And talk about it, explore it. And finally, what can we do different next week or for the next 2 weeks? This is why it would be more ideally every week. But if you can't do every week, do every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, try to check in. Even if it's just having a coffee. You know, let's go for a quick coffee, just you and I. The kids are at school or the kids are, you know, with their grandparents or somebody. Like, make the effort because your relationship is worth it. When you make the effort and you show up, it lets the person know, hey, you matter. This matters. Forgiveness and growth after infidelity. This is the one that I myself had to change my views around it. I used to say that, you know, never, ever, ever. Then I thought, well, if they just cheat, like, hey, they got drunk and they fell on someone's dick or vagina, whatever. then I think I could get over it. You know, doesn't matter. Because Frida used to say, I can give more emotion in a handshake than in a fuck. Meaning that emotional cheating is worse than physical cheating. And for a while, I thought that. My cynical ways. But now I think, like, it just depends. You know, you never know. Everyone's relationship is different and every scenario is different. But if the love is there and the remorse is there, then everybody, you can either grow from it and make you stronger, or you could learn that it's time for you to move. So forgiveness and growth after infidelity is redefining what forgiveness means. It's all about releasing resentment, not just forgetting. Because you're never going to forget that. That's always going to be in the back of your mind. Maybe not as often as other times, but you just don't forget something like that. But you need to be able to let the resentment go and not hold it against them. Like I said, in every fight or every situation, or not be able to not trust them, like, oh, now you can't go anywhere. Like, no, that's not our way to live. That's not realistic. However, for the person that was cheated on, for them to be able to heal, it requires for their partner to take accountability for what they did. Take accountability, apologize, and then be transparent after. And then hold that space for them and of empathy for them to heal. Sometimes, you know, it might take a month. Sometimes it might take a year. Sometimes it might take more. But as the person that cheated, you need to be willing to, if you want it to work, be willing to say, hey, I'm here for it. I know it's not going to go away overnight, but I'm willing to work on it and show up with transparency and empathy. Because once you paint the wall, for example, I got this example. I don't know where I heard this example, but they said it's like when you move into a house and then you paint the walls blue and then someone decides to paint the walls red and you hate it and you're mad. But you decide, hey, we're just going to start over. We're going to paint these walls white. And that's it. The walls were white. From now on, whoever walks into this house, they're not going to see a red or blue wall. They're just going to see white. You have to be able to be on the same page. It's white now. Because you said it's white and you agreed and you're moving on. Not always easy. But it's necessary to be able to move on. Because, like I said, a lot of the times infidelity is not the end of a relationship. It's mostly a crisis of identity for either person. The person who's been betrayed is not the only one in pain. The one who stayed also suffers. Like I said, it's hard for both. If you're not growing, you're dying. That's from Tony Robbins. If your relationship isn't growing, it's dying. If there's nothing new in your relationship happening, it's dying. If you're not doing anything new in your job, in your career, in your life, then it's dying. I wanted to also touch on some signs of healthy relationships that I've seen, whether it's with young people or older people or couples. Like, you need to be able to be honest with your partner and flirt with your partner. And if your partner sees someone that looks good, because trust me, there's other people out there that look good, even if you're a freaking 10, you know, even if you're a model fire as fuck, there's going to be another model that's fire as fuck that your eyes are going to wonder. And if your partner can't look at you and say, babe, damn, look, she's hot. That's something you need to work on. Because in any healthy relationship, the healthier relationship, the more honest they can be with their partner. Because they know it's not that they want them. It's just a human nature to be able to see something beautiful and appreciate it. To see something attractive and look at it. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't say I love you any less. I mean, I get it. Like, if they do it all the time and their eyes just wander for anything that walks by, okay, girl, that's a red flag. Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. But you know what I mean? Like, when you, even as women, we see some girl and she looks amazing and she has a cute shirt or a top and her tits are out and you're just like, oh my God, babe, look at that. Her tits look great. We both acknowledge it. You move on. That is a sign of a healthy relationship. It's been proven that couples that can do that with each other, be completely honest, last longer and are way healthier. I know social media is a big thing. Like, you can't follow this person. You can't follow that person. I mean, I'm sorry. If you're worried about who they're going to follow, which might be somebody they're never going to meet, that's something you're going to work on yourself, girl. Because it's not about you. Yet, if he's following 100, you know, porn stars, then you probably should get a new boyfriend. I never cared who they followed, never cared who they commented. I mean, if they're over there commenting God knows what, well, then yes, obviously, you should be respected. But then again, this is a perfect example of what your must and must not have list look like, you know? Especially because you want to be able to keep that playfulness in your relationship. Like, that desire, the passion, the new, fresh, fun. Because healthy relationships are not always perfect, but they're intentional. You know for a fact that this is your person and you want to spend the rest of your life with them. So you do your part to make it work. And just like you do your part, they have to do theirs. You can't be holding the bag for both of you guys. So many people hold on to a relationship that is stale and just dead and obviously not working, but simply because they're afraid of letting go. But it's not, it's in the letting go that you're able to refine who you deserve in yourself. You're able to reconnect with yourself and find what you deserve. So if your relationship isn't a 10, for example, or a 9, or where you want it to be, I encourage you to be honest with your partner and tell them exactly how you feel and where you are. Whether, I mean, it's scary, but it's better to know where they are as well in their mindset in regards to the relationship than just go let time pass by just wondering and being unhappy. Who knows? Maybe your partner feels the same way and wants to reconnect with you. They just don't know how. They just need a little encouragement. And more often than not, I'd see that happen. Because love is a verb. It's something you practice every single day. People say love is a choice, and I agree with that too. Same thing, love is a verb, love is a choice. Love is something you do. You choose to love someone every single day. You might not like them every single day,
Trust me, there was days where I couldn't stand my ex.
And there's days where you probably can't stand your partner either. I'm sure there's days you cannot stand them. They get on your nerves. It's just not going well. But at the end of the day, you can look over and say, I choose to love you with your flaws and all. I mean, if those flaws are like, you don't like vegetables, those kinds of flaws. I choose to love you no matter what. You wear socks for everything. But I love you, and that's okay. I'm not talking about I choose to love you with your meth addiction. That's a little extreme, okay? Once again, go back to your standards, your boundaries. And respect them, because they're there for a reason. But trying to see if there's anything else I want to say about relationships. Not like a major thing, but I do remember listening to Esther Perel. She has a book on, it's called Mating in Captivity, How to Keep Your Passionate Relationship Alive After Years of Marriage, which is kind of on the topic, as well as How to Rebuild a Marriage After Infidelity. Both books are amazing, and I love her. She's a great therapist. And a lot of these teachings come from her books. She talked about how one man had a wife and loved his wife, but his wife had cancer and she was dying, but didn't want to tell the daughter. The daughter knew the mom was sick, but didn't know to what extent. The wife and the husband had a conversation about, hey, I obviously cannot be your wife in the sense of like sexually, but he said, I love you. I'm never leaving you. And she's like, well, that's not fair to you. So I'm completely okay if you have another relationship, because I can't show up as your wife anymore. Like, the person you married is not me. That's what I mean. If you stay, for example, and my partner has cancer and I'm staying, that is admirable. But if you're bashing your partner and still choosing to stay, that is not admirable. That's what I was referring to in the last episode. So the husband chose to stay. They didn't tell the daughter. The daughter knew the mom was sick. And then the daughter one time caught her dad cheating. And she was so angry at her dad for so many years, because how would you cheat on my mother who has cancer and is dying? But the daughter never said anything. The daughter never brought it up. The mother passed away. Years went by. Then the daughter finds a letter where the parents are talking back and forth. And she noticed, and she reads that the mom, or she finds a letter that she gave to the girlfriend, because the girlfriend also knew that, you know, he was married and his wife had cancer, and the wives talked. And then not 2 years later, the daughter finds out that the mom knew all along. The dad was actually trying to protect the daughter and still stay with his wife. And the daughter felt so bad because she didn't talk to her dad for years, holding that resentment and the anger towards her father, thinking he did something wrong, when the whole time he was like, just doing the best for his family. The perspective is so different when, if you see it from the daughter's point of view, like, of course she's going to be angry. You know, you're cheating on her mother who's dying of cancer. Yet she never said anything, never brought it up, never wanted to argue with her dad. And so, that's what I mean by every situation is different. I know I don't condone cheating. Not at all. Even in this situation, I do admire the father for never telling his daughter, because she was always protecting her. But if they would just have a conversation, she's an adult, they can have a conversation, they would have saved themselves so many years of suffering and pain in their own head, simply because they were too afraid to have a tough conversation. So if you're in a situation like that, you never know what the other person might be going through. You never know what can be going through their head and through their mind. It's better to just rip the band-aid and have the conversation. Have a tough conversation. People will respect you more for it. Respect you and admire you. And, you know, who knows? Maybe you can save yourself years of grief and suffering. Okay, guys. If this episode touched your heart, share it with someone who might need a reminder that love can be reborn. The love is a choice. And follow us on Instagram at Unicorns Do Exist Podcast. Email me your thoughts at Unicorns Do Exist Podcast. I would love to hear from you. Or simply send me a purple heart or a little unicorn so I know you're listening. And remember, unicorns do exist. You're listening to one.